John, let's get back to what you were talking about in terms of how you kind of changed the testing a little bit to find out why people were or were not responding.
Well, in the case of the people who were rewarded by the standardized testing system, I had independently ascertained that they couldn't read very well, and it really baffled me. So I thought about it and thought about it, I mean for several years, and finally it occurred to me that the way the questions were asked on the standardized test repeated a request for a very narrow number of categories of information. And I knew that from being a student of the language that there were several hundred categories of information, so that I said, what if I ask these kids from these different types of information? How would they do? And I took a simple book, All Quiet on the Western Front, although an excellent, excellent book, but written in one and two syllable words. And I first presented these tests the way tests are usually presented. So you had to remember. But when I would get the best scores being 10 or 20 on that, I felt like I'd been unfair. So I said, what if I give them an open book test? And the results were almost the same. They were slightly better, marginally better, but nobody in 10 years of doing this ever passed the test. So I was really able to open the kids' eyes to how they had been conditioned not to read, even though they appeared to be reading well.
See, that was the results of you did your own private test, basically, and you found out that the conditioning was the reason why they couldn't get good scores, no matter what they tried to do.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, all of us have noticed that the span of attention among teenagers is very short. It's hard to get a teenage kid to concentrate on anything. If I told you that that is a deliberately conditioned phenomenon by the normal attributes of a day in school, I mean, I could specify those attributes as well. Of course, it would seem like I was talking about some phenomenal conspiracy. Well, I would say this to your listeners. When you eat chicken or beef, do you feel that you're conspiring against those lower life forms? I don't think so. And similarly, the people who organized this system believed that there was a danger to human progress if ordinary people were allowed to develop independent consciousness, and especially according to Darwin, that's the same Charles Darwin who's in every high school textbook in the country. Mm-hmm. According to Darwin, the book is in question is Descent of Man, published in the United States in 1871. Darwin said that if the bad breeding stock, which he estimated to be 95% of the population, crossbred with the good stuff, that evolution would march backwards. George, I'm not making this up. And if anyone listening to your show is Irish, Darwin used the Irish as an example of an entire race, he called them, that was bad breeding stock. Now that, I know, isn't mentioned in any high school textbook, but go to Descent of Man and you'll see information about the Irish that you'll burst into laughter, unless you're Irish, of course.
That's right. My Boston audience is going crazy right now, probably.
Oh, my. Well, I for those of you who came to the show late, I'm apologizing for being merry about this. After dealing with this for the last 20 years, it's the only way I can keep my sanity.
Well, but, you know, John, if you were to tell a kid today, just go up to him and say, what's 46 minus 13? I don't think he could give you the answer without a calculator.
Oh, my. Yes, and it's much worse than that. I was speaking to a teacher the other day, an English teacher who said she hadn't had a single student for years who could write a focused essay of analysis. When she was talking offhandedly about Pinochet's Nazi-style regime in Chile, you know, in the 70s and 80s, not a single person in any of her classes knew where Chile was. Not a single one in any of her classes knew what socialism or fascism was. Nobody knew. She made analogies to Plato's Allegory of the Cave. Not a single person recognized that. And it was impossible, she said, for any of them to understand the theme of the novel that she was having them read in class without a basic knowledge of Plato's work, which the novel had been derived from. No one in the class or any of her classes had ever heard of the CIA-sponsored coup that terminated Chile's democracy. It's fascinating. We have wiped the slate clean for most of our kids and replaced it with nonsense garbage or disconnected facts. I have a wonderful piece of evidence to present to your audience.
Sure.
Somewhere around the year 1900, that's a long time ago, a century and more, Cambridge University, certainly one of the most prestigious universities in the history of the human race, forbade short answer tests to be used. And they've continued that ever since. You can't get a degree at Cambridge without first announcing to the faculty what quality degree you want, which is either first class, second class, third class, or ordinary. Can you imagine somebody saying, I want an ordinary
degree?
Yeah,
I just want an ordinary degree, please.
And then, how do you get that degree? You have to write a long essay that's either first class, second class, third class, or ordinary. Now, Oxford held out for about a decade, and then they were compelled by the obvious rightness of the Cambridge thing to adopt pretty much the same system. The idea is that 100 years ago and more, the Cambridge dons understood that if you fill people's minds with disconnected facts, you've in fact destroyed their ability to think in context.